Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
This morning, Acts chapter 4, stand with me. Because I think every one of us believes that God can help us, otherwise you wouldn't be here. I mean, some of you might be here looking for a spouse, and that's the best place to find one. I do believe that. All right, here we go. New International Version, Acts chapter 4, verse 13 through 20. If you're all there, say, woohoo! Here we go. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were what? Uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. Everybody say that. They had been with Jesus. And seeing a man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What should we do with these men? For indeed, a notable miracle had been done through them. It's evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them and said, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Father, move in power this afternoon now. Let us be forever transformed because of your word. Let us be awakened. Let us be quickened to a life extraordinarily lived because of your power. May we be forever changed through this message and the ones that follow in this series. We thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Oh, man, I'm going to live extraordinarily." Go ahead, say it. All of Jerusalem, to give you the context, and we do have notes for you. We will fill in, by the grace of God, blanks as they're put on the screen. In context of what's taking place. Roman number 2, the context. All of Jerusalem was abuzz with the events that had taken place. What events had taken place? Well, Jesus, the Messiah, born of a virgin, walked the earth for 33 and a half years, taught them, walked with them, and then was crucified on a cruel Roman cross, like a prisoner, like a slave, like a thief. He's not only crucified, but then on the third day he rose again. Then he commanded them to wait in Jerusalem till you're endued with power from on high. He had told them that. And they wait 10 days in an upper room, which is a long wait. You know why they're in an upper room? Because they're terrified they too are going to get crucified. Amen. They were terrified. Amen. Jesus was with them for 40 days, then he ascended, and then they wait for 10 more days in an upper room. And we've been to Jerusalem a number of times, and we've been in that upper room, what they believe was the upper room. And you can imagine the whole thing. For those of you going to Israel, the trip is on. If it's at a point where we sense and they sense that it will not be safe, we would then postpone the trip, refunds, and change things. But it's good. I do believe it's in the will of the Lord. And so we'll see it happen in November for those of you who are part of that. And there might be some openings because some have opted out. Let me know if you're interested or talk to Pastor Karen. In Jerusalem in this upper room. And the power of God is poured out. The Holy Spirit came upon them. And what's fascinating is you see these 120 in the upper room. I don't know. The tragedy of the upper room is I don't know where the 500 went. 500 is Psalm ascend, only 120 in the upper room. So 120 in the upper room and the power of God, tongues of fire fall on them. And Peter, who is terrified, self-preserving Peter, ran from a fire because of a little girl accusing him, denied the Lord, the rooster crows, What happened to him? Because he comes out no longer terrified. He comes out and he preaches until thousands of people get saved. Something happened to Pete. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, something happened to Pete. Yeah, something did. He got the fire. Got the fuego. That's Spanish for fire. He got the fire. The Holy Spirit fallen. Peter previously denied the Lord, now stands until 3,000 people get preached. And God uses, this is now 3-4 years after the outpouring. Fire had fallen. The fire of the Holy Spirit had fallen. Everybody say it with me. The fire of the Holy Spirit had fallen. God used two fishermen. First Corinthians, turn there, 1 Corinthians 1, 27-28. I'll read it in just a moment. God uses two fishermen, uneducated, untrained. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 27, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things. Come on, somebody say the lowly things of the world and despise things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. So God chose, so listen, this ought to bring you hope because we're all basically uneducated. Even if you think you're educated, the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know very much. Even the highest educated people would say, I still have a lot to learn. Everybody say, I still have a lot to learn. Yeah, so it's not education that sets the captives free. It's God's power. And there's nothing wrong with education, where I'm in favor of education, although some people are educated beyond their own intellect with more degrees on the thermometer and can't cast the devil out of anything. Can't set people free, and they're filled with misery. That's not God's will. God's will for you, yes, learn, grow, study the word, learn to rightly divide the word, yes. But these men were simple, uneducated fishermen, and God used them to turn Jerusalem upside down. Would you dare to believe that God will use you to turn the state upside down? Would you dare to believe that God can use the likes of you with a wooden spoon board in your mouth or a silver spoon or whatever your background, that God would use you to change this community, to change the state, to change the nation? And if you feel uneducated, you feel unworthy, well, worth, that's different. You're made worthy by the blood. We'll talk about that in a moment. God wants to use us to live an extraordinary life. Come on, say it with me. God, say, God wants to use me. I can't hear you. God wants to use me to live an extraordinary life. So it doesn't matter your pedigree. You come from a long line of pimps. I don't know what kind of line you came from. It's irrelevant. If you'll get saved, if you'll get healed, you get set free, and they notice they had been with Jesus. They notice they had been with Jesus. That is a key, being with Jesus. So God chooses things that we wouldn't choose. I wouldn't have chosen me. Not a bad choice. Aren't you glad you're not God? Aren't you glad that God sees completion? Aren't you glad that God can redeem? Aren't you glad that God can heal? Aren't you glad that God can raise up a donkey? Yes. King James uses another word because God's ways are not man's ways. Isaiah 55. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. He confounds the wise. He brings people that are wise. He confuses them. Brings the proud to humility, base things. And it's all for the purpose of showing his glory. When God uses someone unlikely, it is astounding. God uses someone that's just like so awesome. It's like some of those basketball players. Just amazing. Some of them realize they're gifted by God. Others think they're God's gift. There's a lot of examples in Scripture of people who were like us, that were simple, uneducated. Understand, even if you're educated, you're still uneducated. You understand? Moses, a stuttering fugitive. Moses, a murderer, a fugitive, becomes a deliverer of Israel. I wonder what God could do with you. Think about David, the forgotten shepherd boy, is very likely the offspring of an illicit relationship. It's a whole nother message. You can look at the Psalms. He was conceived in sin, he wrote in this. If he was married, he wouldn't be conceived in sin. There's some uniqueness about that. He was ruddy. He was redhead. He was redhead, they say, ruddy. Handsome. They say he was a redhead stepchild, is what they said. No, he was left out in the field. He wasn't even invited. His brothers, like, oh, that's just the insignificant, the youngest, which is like runt. Don't invite David, but David became the king. I think about Mary. Poor teenage girl becomes the fulfillment of the virgin will be with child. Peter, fisherman, becomes a leading apostle. What could God do with you? What could God do with you? Some of you have dismissed yourself already. Some of you think more highly than you ought. God wants to use us. Come on, say it. Say, God wants to use me. And that's the point of this whole message. And time would fail to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson had a lust problem, but he got it together, just lost his eyes. Hebrews talks about that. Hebrews 11, 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned the fight of the enemies of aliens, women received dead raised to life again. Talking about faith. If you're a person of faith, God has called you to be like that. God has called you to do exploits. God has called you. Come on, say, God's called me. God's called you to live a life that's exemplary. Exemplary. And that's what these two did. Saved 3 or 4 years. 4 years. Saved 4 years. All right, let me give you keys of living a supernatural life. Keys of living a supernatural life. Well, the first thing is, you got to get born again. That's the first thing. I was jumping right to some other points, and I thought, well, we better not leave that out. You got to get saved. Bump your neighbor and say, you saved? You got to get born again. You must receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. No matter how long I stood in that river over this last week, and by the way, we slayed them. Just saying. Best fishing I can ever remember. No matter how long I stood in that river, I am not a fish. You know what Einstein said? This is really a big help for me. Einstein said this. If you constantly try to teach a fish to climb a tree, it'll always think he's stupid. God has a purpose and a plan for you. And when you flow and move in that plan, when you flow and live in that which is entered into first by receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So you've got to get born again. Nicodemus comes, Nick comes to Jesus in John 3. In the middle of the night, because he doesn't want to be associated with the teacher. And he says to him, teacher, we know that you've come from God because nobody can do the miracles you did unless they come from God. And Jesus gets right to the heart of the matter and says, you must be born again. And he says, what are you talking about? Can a man enter his mother's womb a second time? He says, do you not know what I'm talking about? And he explains to him, you see, you're separated from God because of sin. You're redeemed, you're purchased. He became a propitiation. The wrath that was headed to you because of sin was placed upon Jesus. And when you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, when you repent of your sin, he will come to live on the inside of you and he will take your sin and throw it as far as the east. Can I preach in here? Throw it as far as the east is from the west. He said, well, I've heard that already. It's really? It's the greatest revelation, greatest miracle there is that mankind, though depraved and broken, sinful from birth, In conception even, it's sin is in the blood. It's passed down from Adam, who I'd like to kick in the rear end when I get to heaven. It's passed down. You don't have to teach babies to sin. They know. They know, don't know how to, don't know, share. Not sharing comes naturally, because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Being redeemed is by believing on Jesus, that he died in your place, because you deserve death, I deserve death, everyone deserved death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ. You must be born again. You're going to live a supernatural life, going to live an exemplary life, going to change the world. Number one, got to get born again. If you haven't done that, we'll give a moment at the end of the service for you to get right with God. The second thing I see is be filled with the Spirit. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 2. To unlock the supernatural, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You need to be filled with the Spirit. Somebody said, how come your church is just different? We actually had somebody come and say, every time I come to your church, I cry. Why do I cry? I don't cry at my church. And I said, we don't really know 100%. But then they said, you know, my church I was going to, they're not very nice. Nobody says hi. How come everybody says hi over here? There are certain qualities of a Spirit-filled church that are different than a church that's not Spirit-filled. You say, well, I thought the Holy Spirit's in everybody that's a Christian. Well, that's true on one level. On another level, there's something else taking place. And thank God for the body of Christ. I thank God for cessationists too. Cessationists are those who believe the gifts of the Spirit ended with the apostles. Why do you thank God? I just thank God that Christ is preached. Jesus should be preached. But it's too late to try to tell me there's no power in the Spirit. My life's been radically changed, and I've got theology to prove it. And we're going to walk through some of it. One of the truths that we believe, 16 fundamental truths that are foundational to who we are here at King's, one of those is that the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. Initial. Everybody say initial. So if you don't believe that, just pause for a moment. Let me take you on a little journey through Acts. Won't take long, but it's going to be real strong. Come on, somebody say, listen up. All right. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, day of Pentecost. We talked about that, the outpouring of the Spirit. They came out preaching, and thousands got saved. Before that, they didn't have a boldness. There was something about them that changed. Something changed. What was it? It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, it says, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. Verse 15. When they arrived, they prayed for all the new believers. What were they new? New what? I'm sorry, new what? So are they believers, yes or no? Yes. That they might receive the Holy Spirit. Wait, what? Go back. Go back, Mr. Slide Guy. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers. Everybody say it with me. When they arrived, they prayed for the, that they might receive the. So wait, I thought the Holy Spirit was given when you got born again. Well, it's absolutely true. Yes. The Spirit comes to dwell on the inside of you when you receive Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. So then what's that about? That they might receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, please. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. What would it come upon? What's this a come upon thing? They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus is salvation. Everybody say that's salvation. All right, verse 17. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them that they might receive the. So if you look at this whole chapter, leave the scripture up. If you look at the whole chapter, you'll see that Philip, who's not an apostle, he waited on tables. He was a Grecian believer. Philip goes, and there's all kinds of signs and wonders, miracles. I mean, people healed, people set free. Demons go out with a shriek. And there's this guy, Simon Magus, who is a sorcerer, who everybody actually thought was God, that he had the Spirit of God. He had such supernatural demonic power, they thought Simon had the Spirit of God. But Simon gets born again. Simon becomes a believer. And when Simon sees that through the laying on of hands, now we're looking, not looking at this whole thing, but just a snapshot. When Simon sees through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Spirit was given. So in other words, something else is happening besides healing, miracles, signs, and wonders. Something else happens. It's not salvation. It's something else that the Holy Spirit is given. It is inferred. It's inferred, it's implied that they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with tongues. It's implied. All right, you're not convinced, go to Acts 10. Acts 10 and verse 44 on the screen now. While Peter is speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came upon all who heard the message. Verse 45. The circumcised believer who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. Verse 46, everybody say Acts 10, 46. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. So you see, the outpouring of the Spirit is noted by these circumcised believers, the Jewish believers, that the gift of the Spirit of God, the baptism of the Spirit, tongues had been released in the Gentile church now. Amazing. Acts 11, verse 15 on the screen. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he come on us at the beginning. Stop. What is he talking about? What beginning? What beginning is he talking about? He's talking about Acts 2. He's saying in the same way they were in an upper room and the Holy Spirit came upon us and we spoke in other tongues, tongues of fire came in the same way. That's like, dude, that's exactly what happened. He's reporting it. He's testifying in the beginning. Chapter 11, verse 16. Then I remember what the Lord had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Shakatarabahaya. Come on, somebody say, praise the Lord. Say, that's unusual. Yeah, the kingdom of God's not like your kingdom. Very different. Verse 17. So God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I should stand in God's way. So the same outpouring in Acts 2 took place on the Gentiles. Acts 19, this one stings. This next one stings. So Paul, Apollos had left to Corinth. Paul took a road through the interior and arrived at, where do you arrive? Ephesus. While he's in Ephesus, he found some disciples. Pause, leave the scripture up. I answered we got a new mattress at home. Our other one we wore out. It became like a potato chip. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That thing needed to go. It lasted for 10 years. It was a potato chip. Pastor Karen said, this thing's out of here. It was the Marianas Trench mattress. And so the mattress guys come to deliver the mattress because I used to pull those things. We didn't get the one in the box because we just can't do the memory foam thing. So the one in the box, like amazing, like open up, just amazing. Just be careful where you place that. Now, we got one that had some spruce, full size, didn't go in a box. So they showed up. When the guy opens the door, he steps back. I open the door. The guy steps back and says, you're a Christian. I said, yes, sir. He said, man, I can feel that. What a great response. It's a good thing he didn't come 20 minutes before that when we were in an argument. No, I'm kidding. He got us in a Christian moment. No, I'm teasing. But Paul sees these guys and sees they're believers. So what does that mean? How did he know they were believers? We don't know, but there was something about them that he said, oh, these guys believe in Jesus. So he found some disciples, but what he doesn't know, he doesn't know they're not born again. He doesn't know they're not believers. What kind of believers are they? So he asks them, So he thinks they're believers. Everybody say he thinks. So he thinks they're believers, and he comes up to him and says, "What's up, bro? Praise the Lord. Hey, have you guys received the Holy Ghost since you first believed?"
"What is that? I've never heard
Oh my gosh, you're hired. Amen.
We've not even heard.
Come on, lift your hands to Jesus like an illustrated sermon. Let's try that again. That was very good. "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you first believed?"
"What?"
Okay. So he says, "No, we haven't even heard there was a Holy Spirit." And Paul's like, "What?" Next verse. "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they said. Now this is amazing, because John the Baptist, you look at how far Ephesus is where John the Baptist did his ministry before he lost his head, is a long way off. The effects of John the Baptist's ministry is amazing. Paul says John's baptism of repentance, he told the people to believe in the one that was coming after him, that is in Jesus. On hearing this, verse 5, they were baptized in the name of the
Lord Jesus.
I'm sorry, one more time. They were baptized in the
Lord Jesus.
The name of the Lord Jesus. Well, what does that mean? That means they got born again. That's what that means. Everybody said that means born again. Okay, because you can expressly see now verse 6, when Paul places hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they leave this scripture up, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. So you're going to live. I'm taking a moment here. I've got like 9 points. I'm taking a moment because so many have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you're going to live this exemplary life, if you're going to be used like John, if you're going to be used like Peter, if you're going to be used like those who've changed society over the courses of thousands of years and turned our nation right side up, you're going to need the fire of the Holy Spirit. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost to be born again. Yes, you need to be born again, but you need the fire. Come on, somebody say, "I need the fire. I stuttered on purpose. Wow. It's not just being filled with the Spirit. It's really praying in the Spirit too. It's one thing to say, "Oh, check mark. I'm filled with the Spirit." You pray in tongues? I pray in tongues. Michael Gannon, a friend of mine, Dr. Gannon, we had a friend of ours who was didn't like how we did church. He was a pastor of another church and did church his own way and just felt like we were out of balance. Of course, he doesn't pastor a church anymore, so 30 years later. Anyway, he felt like we were out of balance. And he said to Dr. Gannon, "I pray in tongues." And Dr. Gannon said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." Dr. Gannon said, "Let me hear him." He said, "No." It's just funny. He said, "Why do you want to hear my tongues?" He said, "Because I want to see if they're real." You've got to pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit a lot. I mean, I've preached whole messages on it. I'll say what I said to the first service. If you go to YouTube, our Kings Alaska YouTube, search the videos, click video, then search the videos for tongues. It'll give you numerous messages. I'm not going to preach a whole message on that right now, but I'm pressing it for a moment. Because a lot of people don't pray in the Spirit and aren't filled with power. You need the power. I've known people that live like the devil and pray in tongues too. But it is the initial evidence, scripturally, I believe that. It's the initial evidence. And you need the fire of the Holy Spirit to resist the devil, to be a witness. And as we've seen in Acts, it's important. It's been praying in the Spirit that God has brought some of the greatest miracles for this church. And one of my favorite, current favorite ones, is the school. So we went to start a school. We had a moral outcry. "I don't want to send my kid to public school because they're going to teach them that you can pick your gender. Can I get an oh no?" And I thank God for godly teachers that are part of the public school system. We bless God, thank God that they're there. May they stand and may God turn around the public school system. Can you say yes? But we had many just a part of our church here, just a part of King's. I think we're our meeting of 300 people gathered to say, please start a school. We're in. We'll do it. We'll be a part of it. A lot of homeschoolers here. And so we started, but we couldn't pull it off. And the reason is we didn't have somebody to drive it. So what about you? No, I learned and got sound wisdom from Denny Duran, Dr. Bob Rogers, Dr. James Morocco, and others. You can't lead a church and lead a school simultaneously. You can be over it as a pastor, as a leader, but you must see someone rise that'll drive that school. And really drive any large ministry in the umbrella of a church has to be driven by a leader, a strong leader. And I'm told that it would be a leader that would give their life for the school like you would give your life for the church, which I would happily. It takes laying down your life to reach and change a nation, which we will continue to do. Really, Jesus is the one that laid down his life. We're just trying to follow suit. Come on, we're going to go from glory to glory. Say amen. But if it's like a hired thing, I'd quit. If I was hired, I'd have quit long ago to go do something else. But we can't help but do what God called us to do. He burns in us. We dream about it every day, think about it. It's the way it is. We're called. Well, you need somebody to do a school like that, and we didn't have anybody. We thought maybe Pastor Kirsten, but we just knew it wasn't him. We tried to fill in a little bit, couldn't get it off the ground. So I'm praying in tongues. I'm praying the Spirit. I'm talking about living an extraordinary life. Got to be born again. Got to be filled with the Spirit. And I'm to sub point right in the margin. Pray in the Spirit a lot. Do it a lot. So I'm praying in the Spirit. And while I'm praying, I have this thought. Contact Susie McKenzie. Susie McKenzie was a part of our church and really a fringe kind of way. I don't know what fringe might be, a little bit much, but she was a commissioner from the Department of Education of the state of Alaska. And the Lord speaks to me, go ahead and text her. Tell her, you give her, if she'll take the whole school, she can run it carte blanche. Would you take the school? I'm thinking, that's bold. I'm thinking, well, let's go, God. So I get her number and I text her. Do you know what happened? Now, some of you know the story, but many of you don't. 20 minutes before that, she's in her office as a commissioner of the Department of Education, 20 minutes before God speaks to me, and the Lord says, resign right now. Put in your resignation right now, and if you do it, I have something for you to do. She literally obeyed God, sent the email, sent in her resignation, and sat there and said, Lord, what do you got? Ding! Looks at her phone. And it's me. And she said, texted me back, oh my God, I can't believe you texting me right now. She is our headmaster. And I will tell you that she is the finest educator I've ever met, with an iron will, called by God to lead the Christian school that was 57 students, that's now 131, and it's gonna go on to be hundreds and hundreds of students. And the Lord spoke to us to say, he said to me, it is one of the most important things you will do with your life is to start that school. It'll be here long after we're gone, should the Lord tarry, as will this building. Praying in the Spirit gives strategy from God. You need a strategy from God to live this extraordinary life. And if you don't pray in the Spirit, then you got to get filled with the Spirit and start doing it. It's not something you just did in 1970 at the Charismatic Catholic Renewal. Let's move on. Got to hear his voice. Everybody say, hear his voice. See, hear his voice. I was praying in the tongues and hearing his voice, but John 16, verse 13 on the screen now, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you. He will guide you into all the truth. I was fishing years ago. I think it was Sedeshka. And I'm fishing with this guy who was Luke the Fish Whisperer. Ridiculous fishing skills. And I said to him, man, I wish I could catch a king. He said, well, you can catch one, but you can't keep it. I said, yeah, but I still want to catch one. He said, you want to catch a king? I said, yeah. He said, all right. You see that reed? I said, yeah, I see the reed. He said, cast just behind that and just listen to what I say. I'm like, okay. I cast behind it. He's like, wait, 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 Now, wham, and I got this 25-pound king, which I reel in, and we didn't take it out of the water, and it wasn't a snag. I thought, but how do you do that? How do you do that? Do you know God knows how to give you a king? God knows how to put you right behind the reed. God knows how exactly how to do it, but if you can't hear his voice, then you'll never be the one that brings it in. God has an amazing plan, but you must hear his voice. He speaks in numerous ways. He speaks audibly. Have you ever heard him audibly? It was audible to me, but the people around me didn't hear it, so I don't know. Yes, I think I have. He does speak audibly. We know that from Scripture. He speaks through angels. He can use angels. He can use circumstances. Somebody said, I never heard God speak. Read the Bible. He's talking to you. Read it out loud. You'll be hearing his voice. The word of God, prophecy, circumstances, creation. I've had birds talk to me. I literally have gotten the interpretation of a bird. How many of you heard this testimony? So most of you haven't. I'm going to go ahead and tell it then. I was a tour guide in Maui, Hawaii, and I'm talking about living an extraordinary life. I'm giving you some stories to quicken you and wake you up, because Peter and John, they were just simple, ordinary fishermen. You don't have to come from some pedigree. God can use you to change your family, use you to change your neighborhood, use you to change the state. Isn't that right, Governor? He can use you. But if you don't see it, if you don't believe it, then you won't be ready for it and responding in such a way. You got to hear his voice. I'm in my mid to late 20s. I'm a tour guide. I don't have a car. I have no car. I'm living in my mother's house, you know, which is cool now, but it wasn't cool then. I'm like so depressed. I'm going to church. I was filled with the Spirit, but I'm just in a pity party. I get on my stupid bike, and I have these tourists that are gonna ride down a volcano with me. And I take off, I'm riding my bike, and I've got all these great bike riders. It's fantastic, because it's not fantastic when they can't ride. I'm riding my bike, and I start crying. And I'm like, I'm a loser. I have no car. I live in my mother's house. I'm a failure, I'm a total loser, and I had a lot of evidence. And while I'm weeping, I don't mean a kind of weeping, I mean like snot running, weeping, like bawling, and trying to see through my tears, I hear this bird. Kind of, I'm very close to exactly what it sounded like. And I'm going 15, 20 miles an hour, and I'm here. I'm like, it interrupts me. I'm like, what is going on right now? Where is that bird? And I look, and flying next to me is a bird, you know, 10 feet away. I'm like, whoa. And I get the interpretation of the song. It's words from God straight into my heart. Son, it's going to be okay. I've called you. I have a plan for you. It's going to be all right. Be comforted. I'm going to fulfill my tears of sorrow into tears of joy. Like, yes, God. Yes, God. You got to hear his voice, because there's times of depression, times of sorrow, times of grief, times of heaviness. And if you don't know how to hear his voice, you can begin to hang your head down and think it's all over. It ain't all over, not for you. Oh, no, it's the beginning. It's all over for the devil, because he took the keys of hell, death, and the grave. He ascended on high and led captivity captive. And you are the redeemed of the Lord. You're the redeemed of the Lord. You're called to do great things. Those that know their God will do great exploits, says Daniel. Don't live an ordinary dead life, a ho-hum boring life. Live extraordinarily. You've got to hear his voice. Next, you got to live in purity. Everybody say live in purity. You got to live in purity. You got to live holy. Galatians 5 and 16, I say then, walk by the Spirit and you'll not gratify the desires of your flesh. If you're constantly caving into the flesh, you're going to live no extraordinary life. Those of you that continue to give in to fornication and idolatry are going to find yourself in hell with other people that do the same thing. Thank you for that reel. That's what happens. Don't live that way. There's no satisfaction that way. Pastor Karen said, no matter how many fish you get, you still want more. Greed will never satisfy you. You're never exhorted in Scripture to become famous. You're never exhorted in Scripture to be any of those things. You're exhorted in Scripture to fulfill the mandate upon your life. And if you don't live in holiness and purity, you will not fulfill it. Your anger problem matters. Quit winking at it. Your greed matters. Your lust problem matters. Your perversion. I'm not looking at anybody. My eyes are closed right now. She's talking to me. Yeah, I'm talking to you. It's the Spirit talking to you. Perversion matters. Your heart adultery matters. But in commit adultery, you do it with your eyes and your heart every day, and you know it. Not feeling the love right now. Got to be led by the Spirit of God. Everybody say, be led by the Spirit of God. I think there's a lot of different things I could talk here, but I'm just about out of time. I think the greatest thing about being led by the Spirit of God, if I could just give you one simple principle, you go with peace. If you'll let God, just let the peace of God rule your heart. We drive mostly that way, right, Pastor Karen? We decide where we're gonna go fishing by peace. We decide everything what we're gonna do based upon the peace of God. Of course, the Word of God, that's the guideline. We don't ever do anything in married life. We don't do anything out of peace. We have constant agreement all the time. And we have no secrets. I mean, we hold a lot of secrets, people, counsel, different things like that. We have no secrets between each other. I have no hidden thing. You look at my phone anytime you want. Well, I can look at yours. She has my email. We have no secrets. Peace. Let the peace of God lead you. Let God be led by the Spirit. If you're led by the Spirit, you're gonna do exploits. Fast and pray. Everybody say fast and pray. Keys, please. Fast and pray. Give yourself to fasting and prayer. We're talking about living an extraordinary life. It doesn't just happen. There's simple things. Fasting and praying is a big deal. Fasting is bringing your heart before the burning bush of God's presence. It's folding down your humanity. It's restricting yourself from food or drink for a period of time so that you can pray. It's more than just about cleansing your colon, for God's sake. It's supposed to be good for you too, but I'm not talking about that. Thank God we're not talking about colons in church. Jesus help me. Pastor Karen told me not to talk about colons. Fasting and prayer will help you. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. Have eyes to see. Have eyes to see. Pray for discernment. You're going to be in a Spirit-filled church. You're going to have a Spirit-filled church. You better have discernment, which is different than the gift of suspicion. Get in and stay in alignment. Get in and stay in alignment. Like, what do you mean? With God's word. Obey God's word. Obey godly counsel. God uses counsel to guide his people. You know, one of the things that we grieve over the years is people that, I don't know, they like get a wild hair and just want to do this great thing in faith, which is commendable, but they just do it all by themselves. And like after they're halfway into it, I hear about it, oh yeah, no, we did this and this and made this investment, made this move and started this business, do this thing. And I can see I see the mistakes and stuff that they have. And I just think to myself, I wish they mentioned it, because not that I'm some business pro. I do know hundreds, though. I know hundreds of people that are successful entrepreneurs, restaurateurs, politicians, political people, successful pastors and leaders. Hundreds. So when somebody is part of the congregation, it's just great to have wisdom in a multitude of counsel. I've known people that, it's just crazy. I think they're afraid of someone trying to stop them. How many people have we known are like, oh, I'm praying for a wife. All of a sudden they come back and they're married. And they married somebody like, oh, Are they saved? They're going to be. I'm like, oh, wow. Well, okay. Or here's a famous one. God told me. What do you say to that? Okay. Better to say this to when you're talking to somebody who's got wisdom, who's done it, and there's many people like that in the church. I believe God spoke to me. What do you think about this? As opposed to God told me, because that's it. You're like, no, God spoke to me. Just talking to somebody, they're telling me, no, I'm going to go do this thing. And I said, who are you accountable to in your life? Do you have anybody that you're bouncing stuff off of? Nope. I said, so it's just me then? Yeah. I said, it's not God. What? Well, I don't care what you say. I'm going. Well, you're an idiot. No, I mean, it's like we're going on 30 years of pastoring. I don't want anything from you. I want you to fulfill the dream that God has for you. I want you to walk in this exemplary anointing to see. And it's just, my gosh, there's tons of others as well. Please don't hear me the wrong way. You know what our dream is? You know what my dream is? Pastor Karen and I, you know what our dream is? To see you live yours. I pray that your ministry and your business and all that God calls you to be 10 times God ever did here. May you just blow up for the glory of God and reach whole nations. May God just dump on you incredible favor and blessing. May he just rain it on you, and may you have the character to walk it out and to finish it. That's my job. I'm a dream facilitator. Go for it. Come on, somebody say go for it. Get submersed in God. Get submersed in God. I'm closing. This is like my second close, I think, but I'm almost done. Tell the children's workers back there to hold on. I fished more than I've ever fished in my life. In the river. I spent more time in a river. I took vacation. I spent more time in the river. And I got to fish with some skilled fishermen. Taught me some stuff. They didn't know I was watching them, but I was just learning. I mean, I've been fishing here for years, but I haven't really gotten it. So I don't know how many hours in the river, but you know, 4 or 5 hours, 4 days in a row. And I'm gonna tell you, something happened. Some have thousands. I mean, I'm waking up in my sleep just like thousands of casts. I'm starting to learn about the amount of weight. Some of you won't have any idea about what I'm saying to you right now, but others of you will know. How much weight you have on your line, how long the leader is, the kind of hook that you use, the fact that your hook gets old, you need to put a new hook on and on and on and on. When to pull, when not to pull. And I've started being able to feel the fish. I don't know how to describe it to you. I've been fishing for years in Alaska, but I can feel a man more than ever before. So I'd walk in, it's crowded. This lady says, you know, it's a little crowded. I said, it'll be okay. She said, you know, there's not enough room here. I said, no, it'll be all right. They've been fishing for 45 minutes. I just, Lord forgive me, but fuck. Wham! It's okay. And I learned to finesse that fish. I broke two rods. Two. What are you saying? I submersed myself in fishing, and I learned that you can't horse them all the time. You got to finesse them. The same is true in God. Some of you want to be doing all these great things for God and fulfilled dreams and hopes. You've got to submerse yourself in the Word. I mean, in your notes, Discover Track, go to Discover Track. Find out about our church. Find out about where we came from. Get to know us. Come, Discover Track, next one. Life groups, I said that one already. Life groups, teams. Get in life, get discipled. Get in a life group, be a part of a team. Serve in some capacity. Serve, don't just come here. No. That doesn't sound right. Pastor Karen would never say that. You can just come. But I will push you and goad you and try to get you to serve, because I understand that when you serve, something will happen in your life that does not happen if you just come. Serve. Commit to go to church. Commit, like, commit. Pastor Karen, we now call her the Sleigh Queen because she learned to fish. I'm proud of you. And I think back about how I hindered your fishing for 15 years. Not on purpose. I didn't have the proper fishing discipleship. I didn't want to spend, this is the truth, and I've already repented. I didn't want to spend money on waiters. Good waiters are expensive. Even the cheap $100 waiters, I didn't want to spend $100. So I had a used pair that had holes in them. So I gave her the used pair that were a little bit too big that had holes. So when we got in the Russian River 15 years ago, she froze to death and thought, I hate fishing. I'm like, why? Freezing cold. Her waders are filled with water. She just didn't want to fish again. She tried it twice, same thing. I should have got her the right equipment. Some of you don't have the right equipment. You wonder why your marriage is all jacked up. Wonder why your kids are, well, you wonder. You got to get discipled. So we got her a brand new pair of Sims. Girlfriend loves fishing now. No, after the first day of her catching fish, she says, how early you want to get up? I'm like, what? She's like, should we get up at 5? Why don't we get in the river by 6? I'm like, okay. She wants to go fishing on Monday. Yes. Come on. This, I'm using that as an illustration to apply it to your Christian walk with God. You don't just come get involved. Submerse yourself in the things of the kingdom. And you will begin to become a spiritual athlete. Fellowship's important. Spend time with people. Some of you, the people you spend time with, you need like a hole in the head. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. In conclusion, and I've preached long, but it's a good word. Live an extraordinary life. Choose it. Take these principles. Apply them. Don't live beneath your God-given, blood-bought right for more. Don't live a mediocre, half-hearted life. Jesus gave his all. You give your all to him, and you will never regret it. He will bring you to a place of fulfillment and destiny and purpose that you never even knew was possible. He'll use you, though simple, perhaps uneducated, and he will use you to bring forth change in your family. He will use you to bring forth change in the community. He will use you to bring forth transformation in a state. He'll use you. He'll use you. He will use you. That's God's plan, to use mankind. Oh, an angel could do so much better, but angels aren't allowed to preach the gospel currently. They would do so much better. Yet God uses man. God uses you. He chose you. He appointed you. He selected you to bear forth fruit and fruit that remains. Come on, lift up your heads. Lift up your, all you heavenly gates. Lift up your heads, all the ancient gates. The King of Glory comes in. He's looking for a church who would say yes. He's looking for a people who would not shrink back. He's looking for a people who would turn their back on religion and tradition and be on fire, led by him, filled with the Spirit, laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. He's looking for a people who'll say yes. Can someone say yes in here? Stand up on your feet all across this place. Want to give your heart to Jesus for the first time? Want to recommit perhaps because you drifted in your commitment and you have compromised? You want to come home? Give your heart to Jesus first time. Number two, recommit your life to him. Oh, every head bowed, every eye closed. Give your life to Christ. Be born again. If that's you, slip your hand up right now. You want to be included in this prayer. You want to give your life to Jesus for the first time. Or number two, you want to recommit to him. Lift your hand high. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for your honesty. See that hand all the way in the back. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Lift your hand. God bless you. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Hands going up all over. Online, perhaps. God bless you. God bless you. Pray this prayer with me right out loud. Come on, right out loud. Say it with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on a cross for my sin. I believe he rose again from the grave for me. And I ask you, come on, right out loud. And I ask you to wash me, to cleanse me, to come and live inside my heart. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Lift your hands all across this place as I preached for a moment on the baptism of the Spirit. I pray now, Holy Spirit, fill these with your power. Give them a boldness, an unction from heaven, anointing, an enablement.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.